Welcome to the Christian Ministry Church Podcast. We're praying that this message equips and empowers you to live in the kingdom of God. Now for today's sermon by Pastor Tim Brooks.
My only regret in life is not having a voice like Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Wow, he is alive. He is alive. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. It is a great day to celebrate. You know, the Bible is full of commanding. Not suggesting, commanding his people to celebrate and to celebrate annually. Well, if you read Deuteronomy, it's just all about remembering, remembering, remembering. Annual celebrations is all through the scripture. Oh, Tim, every year our kids come and they hunt Easter eggs. We come to church. We hear about the crucifixion, the rest. Same songs every year, same drama. To that I say, yep. Yep, and every year we're going to keep doing that. We're going to stay with sound doctrine as we remember what was done for us. In obedience to God's word, we celebrate annually. We've all seen our Christmas trees. We're going to set them up again this Christmas. Why? We are remembering. We're remembering. We've all seen what you're about to see on this stage. We're not entertaining you. We're not educating you. We're remembering. We're remembering. We're raising up another generation that remembers. And what happens when the church gets into the entertainment business, then something new, something new, something new. Pretty soon you have a generation that doesn't know anything about the real events of Christmas, the real events of Easter. We don't know anything about that because we're going on to something new, something new. This is not a story to me. It's just not a story to me. This is it's a very personal event in my life. Without this event that we're celebrating today, my life would be very, very lost. My life would look nothing like it looks right now. This event that we're celebrating today is very personal to me because I, like every person, was born with a sin nature. No one taught me at 3 days old. When I left the hospital as an infant, they didn't say, "Now, in a couple of days, in the middle of the night, when your mom and dad are wore slap smooth out, you got to start screaming until they get out of bed." No one explained that to me when I left the hospital. I was born with a self-centered nature that thought about nobody but me. I was born with that. Nobody taught me at 2 years old to bite. Now, when your friend is playing with a toy you want, grab his arm, take a chunk out of it. Now, here's the way you handle it. Nobody explained that to me. I was born with a total selfish nature. I had a toy. It was a good toy, but I wanted the one my friend had. So I'm going to take it from him. Nobody taught me that when you're in Walmart in a shopping cart and your mom says no, that you start kicking your feet, reach over, and just swipe all the things off of the shelf into the floor. See, that's the way you respond to your mom saying no to you. Nobody explained that to me. Nobody said, "Okay, now watch this. Watch close. When you don't get your way, you throw yourself down on the floor. Start smashing your head on the floor, kicking your feet on the floor." Nobody ever demonstrated that to me. It's a sin nature that we're all born with that is in control of you. Why are you hitting your head on the floor? It's a sin nature that's in control of your body right now. See, this historical event that we celebrate today, it's very personal to me. That sin nature that controlled me at 2, 3, 4, born with desires that would take over when I was 4, 5, you were in control of me. I quickly became 17. Born with desires, born with a sin nature that was in control. And without today's celebration, I would have been drinking something that tasted bad and driving a car over the speed limit knowing that's not really wise. But that's what I had to do, because all of my friends were doing that. And that's what you do. And is this fun? No. It's miserable. But let's go. Let's go. We're going to do it. And then see, pretty soon, that wouldn't have given me the feeling that I had. So I'd have to have a little smoke to add with that. I'd have to have a little pill to add with that. I'd like to have a little snort to add with that. And so, my sin nature was telling me how to act, how to think, how to entertain. Oh, it's fun. Throw a rock through a business window. Run in there, grab something out of it, and run off. Woo-hoo! Yes! It's fun. Why'd you just do that? Well, why did you do that? See, it was a drive that is driving 17-year-olds. They can't control themselves. See, the problem with me is I quickly became 21. I became 22. And I would have brought that sin nature into a marriage. Married to someone, and all of my thoughts were selfish. All of my thoughts were my desires. All of my thoughts were what pleased me. All of my thoughts, see, there was a drive to gratify myself. And when she didn't gratify me, then I just slapped her. I'd just beat her. I'd have just thrown her through a window. See, when she didn't gratify me, then I'd have just gone and gotten me somebody else, because my life was driven by a nature inside me. That's where we were. Today, this event is personal to me, because without this event, quickly, I would have brought that sin nature into parenting. And I had a couple of kids. And we can just look every night on the news and see what kind of kids, selfish, self-centered, sin-led parents are loosing on society. Parents are only thinking about themselves, out gratifying themselves, out following their sin nature, just having kids and turning them loose on society. That's where I would have been. That's where my life would have gone. See, don't tell me as an excuse for your sin, I was just born this way. I was just born to do this. I know all about being born. I know all about, I was just born with a temper. I'm born to slap the taste out of your mouth. That's what I'm born to do. Now, do you want me to control my born with urges? Because I'm asking you to control your born with urges. See, but we act like these born with urges are natural and what we should be doing. All of us are born with a sin nature. We are in sin and controlled by it. Absolutely, in fact, you were born to act like this, to identify with that. Absolutely, you were born to think you're a cat. And so you add a tail and you go into a litter box in our bathroom that our brilliant school boards have provided for you. See, this historical event is very personal to me. This is a very personal event to me, because I would have lived my entire life controlled by a sin nature and all of its perversions, starting at infancy, through my teenage years, through my 30s, through my 50s. I would have lived a life hell-bent on gratifying myself, and that leads to a life that kills you, steals from you, and destroys you. See, the hold that sin had, the control that sin had, all of that was defeated when that stone rolled back. Now, make no mistake about it. Today, you and I can choose sin. I mean, we can choose to follow our born with sin nature. That's a choice you got to make every single day. Choose today who you're going to serve. But because of Easter, I don't have to. Because of Easter, the debt, the control, there were some keys that the devil had, and it had me locked to that sin nature. Are y'all here today? Turn to Matthew chapter 27. This is a personal story to me. Jesus, all God, who was perfect, all man, who could pay the debt that mankind owed, hung on that cross for me. This isn't a historical event that's not relatable. This is a personal event in my life. Chapter 27, verse 45. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, le sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." When Jesus shouted out again, he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. See, only the high priest could go into the presence of God. Only the high priest could go into the presence of God and pray for me. I did not have access to God. Jesus tore that veil right there on that cross. Come on, take a picture and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." See, just like we do having a little juice and a little cracker at the altar, today we stare at this scene on the stage and we think about, I don't have to have a priest pray for me any longer. I can take communion for myself. I can pray for myself. As a matter of fact, God will never leave me or forsake me, and he's ever present in any time of trouble I'm in. God is right there with me, and that's all because of this scene. Right? See, this right here is a personal story to me. My sin nature doesn't have to be Lord of my life. My sin nature doesn't have to control me any longer. I don't have to live like the way I was born. It leads to death and destruction. The way you were born, that sin nature leads you to destroy your life, your health, your friends, your family relationship. It destroys your money. It destroys your business. That sin nature leads to a life that destroys everything you touch. This scene is personal to me. Verse 57. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, he went to Pilate and he asked for Jesus' body. Pilate issued an order to release him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember that deceiver once said while he was alive, 'After 3 days I'll rise from the dead.' So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take the guards, secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. In the history of the world, we've never had guards at a cemetery with their swords pointing at the grave to make sure that he didn't come out. Wow. Wow. You see, this historical event is just, it's very personal to me. There was no other way for God to have relationship with us. A perfect sacrifice that didn't owe the debt, that didn't have to die, would die in my place. When Jesus was in that tomb, and this is a little hard for people, but when Jesus was in that tomb, he was in hell. He went to hell 3 days in the heart of the earth, engaged in a battle with Satan, a battle over a set of keys that held me captive to a sin nature that dictated and told me what to do. I'm mad, so slap somebody. I'm depressed, so get this. I don't like it, so quit that. I feel like this, so I go and do it. There were keys that had me locked in to a control of that sin nature that I was born with, and Jesus battled Satan for those keys. That's a price he paid for us. God forsook him on the cross. Why? Because sin separates us from God. We didn't have a relationship with God because sin separated us from a relationship with God. And Jesus at that moment took on, he who knew no sin, took on my sin and paid the price for my sin. This story is personal to me. This story is very personal to me. Jesus went to hell for me. Oh, this story is very personal. Then on the third day, come on, everybody hold up three fingers. Then on the third day, Sunday's on the way. On the third day, see, all through the Old Testament, we read about life under the Old Covenant. And under the Old Covenant, we worshiped on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the last day of the week. That was the holy day. That's when we worshiped, was on the Sabbath. But Jesus, if you'll notice, he didn't come out of that tomb on the Sabbath. He came out on the first day of the week. He came out on Sunday, issuing in a new covenant with us. And so now you and I worship on Sunday morning because we are living life under a new covenant. That's why we don't worship on Saturday. That's why we worship on Sunday. Jesus brought in a new covenant. And as we see this reenactment today, as we know, as we remember Jesus in hell defeating Satan for me, stripping him of those keys and setting me free from that sin nature that I was born with. How many are ready to read on? Here we go. Here we go. Matthew 28, it was early on a Sunday morning. It was early on a Sunday morning. As the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside that stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear. When they saw him, they fell into a dead faint. When the angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying." Now, go quickly. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'll tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city, told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called. They decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't be in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe, and they said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Answering that command is what we are all about. We make disciples, we baptize, and then we teach these new disciples obedience. We teach them to obey all that He's commanded. And we do so because our life is not up to us to decide right and wrong for myself. My life is not up to me to do what I feel like doing. My life is not up to me to live out my desires of my sin nature. My job is obedience to Him and to teach those obedience to Him. We're His disciples. Baptism is a symbolic act. Putting water in a tank, dunking someone in the water, nothing special about that. But when we baptize, it takes us somewhere that we connect with what has happened in our own life. It's a physical symbol that we can all see. And when I get in that baptismal tank, I'm saying out loud, in front of everybody, everybody take pictures. I don't want anybody to forget this. Today, I'm joining Christ. I'm joining Christ in His death. I'm dying to myself. I'm dying to my desires. I'm dying to what I identify as. I'm dying to what I want. I'm dying to what I personally feel like. See, I die to how I was born. And I join Christ in His death. And as I lean back and that water rolls over me, I'm buried, joining Christ in His burial. And just as Christ comes out of that tomb in a spiritual body, I'm saying to the world today, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's a statement that we're making. And for me today, as I watch people being baptized, it'll be just like taking communion. It'll remind me of my death and my burial and my resurrection. It will remind me of my new life in Him. Today, this celebration is personal to me. It's very personal to me because this is not a story. This is an event that changed my entire life. From what my life would look like today, from where I would be, from how my life would have turned out, where I would be today is a long way from where my sin nature would have led me all of the years of my life. Very, very personal event today. My life is very, very different than the life that a sin nature will lead you into. See, we're all born with drives that overcome us. Drives to throw a fit. Drives to kick our feet. Drives to grab a gun and go in and shoot up the place that just fired us. See, we're overtaken by desires for same-sex marriage. We're overtaken by desires. I believe I'll change my gender today. We're overtaken by desires. I think I'm a cat. I think I'm identifying as a dog today. I understand all of that because of this historical event. It's very personal to me. I know what it's all about to be overtaken by desires because I was born with desires. I was born with desires with a bad temper. I was born with desires with a bad mouth. I was born with the desires to, when I get mad, just slap the taste out of somebody. When I get upset, just let out a string of cuss words. So I was born with a desire just to jump in my car and spray gravel all over the parking lot. So I was born with desires to tell them to take this job and show. I was born with desire. So I understand about being born with desires to disobey the plan of God. But I came to a point in my life where I understand those desires will lead you to death and destruction. Those desires will take the very life away from you that you're trying to find. Tim, I just want to go out and live a little. That's good. It's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to eat the very fiber out of your life. And I understand it because I was born with that same nature. See, Easter, Jesus in that tomb for 3 days, defeating the devil, taking those keys away from him, setting me free. Now I can live in a life that pleases God. I can live a life that's blessable by God, and I'm living a blessed life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Easter. Thank you, Lord. May this today be the best Easter day for you. May this today be the best Easter celebration you've ever had as we celebrate our freedom from the sin nature. Today, if you've never repented, if you've never asked Jesus to come in, today, if this celebration is not personal to you, you were just drugged here today by your mom. Your mom said she was cooking Easter Sunday lunch, but if you wanted to eat, you're going to have to come to church first. Maybe you're here because you just wanted something to eat. You didn't come to church because of any reason except for lunch after it. You may want to think about today. Where's that sin nature going to lead you? Where is your life going to be 5 more years of the direction you're going right now? Where is your life going to be 20 more years in the direction and the path you're going right now? I'm telling you, sin nature never leads to happiness. It never leads to fulfillment. It doesn't lead to a blessed life. Maybe that's you today. Tim, Easter really isn't personal to me. I'm going to ask everybody in here to bow your head right now. Just bow your head. For those in here that say, Tim, my sin nature is in full control of my life. I do what I want. I do when I want. I live like I want. I'm not submitted to anybody. I'm not submitted to anything. My sin nature is in control. And I recognize the fact it's going to destroy me. I recognize the fact that this life is going to kill me. Right now, I choose to make a difference. I choose to be different. I choose to change the directory of my life. Right now, Father, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I receive what you did for me 2,000 years ago. I receive what you did for me. Thank you for grabbing those keys out of the hands of the devil. Thank you for unlocking and setting me free. Lord, I receive this Easter message as my own personal story right now. From this moment forward, I'm living different. From this moment forward, I'm living my life in obedience to your word. From this moment forward, I'm leaving an old person right here in this seat, and I'm walking out of here a brand new creation. Lord, I ask you to be my Savior, and I submit to you to be my Lord. May I live my life pleasing to you. And today, Lord, this isn't a story. This is personal to me. I ask you to stand with me. Father, today as we worship you, as we celebrate you, today, Lord, as we walk out of this auditorium and we go outside to continue our service, watching those folks join you in a death and a burial and a resurrection, where we invite your presence to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. Lord, today, thank you. Come on, everybody in here, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All over this place, let's say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everywhere, come on, everybody, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me from my sin nature. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you and happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to this message from Christian Ministries Church. If this message impacted you and you'd like to sow into our ministry, you can give at cmchurch.com. If you'd like to listen to more of our messages, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Christian Ministries. God bless.